Welcome to the Fear Fiction Podcast. Fear fic is the term for short horror fiction, mostly posted on the web. It includes any and all related subgenres. Join three assholes, talking basement goo slime beast, inebriated interstellar traveler Abysme, and irritable ghostly man whore Dead Palette, as they read all stories horror and internet related, paragraph by paragraph, and bullshit while they do it. From adolescent revenge fantasies to subtle postmodern narratives about real-life events and everything in between, they read it and critique. You better believe it. Kick it to the cold open, white boy.
Yeah, so I haven't been embarrassed by anything in a good long while, but I had something a while ago that happened to me that was embarrassing, and it involves Girl Scout cookies.
Okay. So where did the Girl Scouts touch you? No, go ahead.
Okay, so essentially what happened was I got some Girl Scout cookies, and I like how the Girl Scouts are like the cookie mafia. Like, you have to get your cookie money. It's like protection money. Mm-hmm. Like, if you work with kids, they're it's like, well, I got to do this, or you kind of look like a giant chode. So I bought some Thin Mints and waited for them to come in. But you need to pay with cash. You can't use credit card or anything, or at least the people who I get my cookies from, they don't let me do that. So I got this cash. But at the same time, I happen to have a new wallet. It's like a Diva wallet and everything. And so it's like a really stiff wallet. And this little girl, she shows up. She hands me my cookies. And her mother is right there because, you know, the mother has to, like, make sure the kid, like, is coercing the kid to do the go up to the person, give them the cookies, and they will give, like, teaching the child commerce and everything.
Is it her mom, or is it just, like, the troop leader or whatever?
Same person for this girl.
Oh, okay.
Oh, God.
So I open up my wallet, I pull out my money, and, of course, condom just flies out right with it.
Oh, no.
And it's a super fancy condom, too. It's like a skin condom, so it's all black and royal gold. And it's like a really intimidating-looking condom. And the mom sees it immediately, and I am, like, fucking cold-sweating so goddamn hard.
That's not even something you should be embarrassed about, though. It's like, yeah, I practice safe sex. What of it?
So when are you seeing the mother again?
In court. Tomorrow.
Yes, in court, yes.
Abysme can be your lawyer.
Decent exposure of your sex paraphernalia.
Oh, so obviously the child doesn't know what it is, and I don't even think the child, like, notices, but the mom does, and I'm like,
lady.
Just don't know what to say.
Oh, man.
Sorry. Just grab the boxes and run.
Now,
sorry, I dropped my Magnum condom for my Magnum cookies.
God damn it! So, how many cookies?
I'm lying. Thin Mints.
Oh, I see. Yes. How many cookies did you end up having to buy then?
I just got the one box, and the parents understand that because I work with so many kids that it's just like I can only get one box per kid. I'm buying so many. I have so many boxes of cookies that I don't want to eat anyway. So
what I'm hearing is Girl Scouts of America, you need to start accepting Bitcoin and other forms of digital currency.
I say create your own digital currency. Like, I don't know, what would it be? Thin coin or?
Mintcoin.
Mintcoin. Yeah.
Because you mint coinage. That would work.
That would work, yeah. The value, I guess, would be in Girl Scout cookies. Like, it would go up and down daily. Like, now it's worth this many boxes. Now it's just worth one box.
It would go up, like, well, because they only sell them during, like, what, one time of the year? So it would spike predictably and reliably one time a year, unlike any other cryptocurrency, which we have no idea because it's all experimental. So, yeah. No, Girl Scouts of America, get on that. I want to see you mess with cryptocurrency.
Do it. And then the Boy Scouts have to release their own cryptocurrency to compete with it. Oh, Jesus.
Those poor saps. They,
goddamn.
Popcorn. They are so far behind the curve. I feel bad for them. No one wants that goddamn popcorn.
Well, that's the thing, though, is, like, Girl Scouts don't learn anything cool, but they're cooler because they get to sell cookies. But the boys, like, learn how to make knots and shit. They get knives.
They learn how to make Nazi shit.
Yes.
But like anyone can learn that. You don't have to be a Boy Scout to learn that, but you can't just go sell Girl Scout cookies unless you want to do it under the table, black market.
No, but if you're a Boy Scout, you get a LARP, like you're able to survive in the wilderness, even if you're not.
Mm. Now what?
You're like, look, if I make this knot, then the bear won't attack me.
Not today, bear.
If you make a knot as large as the bear, he'll be intimidated. What would be a good thing for Boy Scouts to sell then? I mean, like you
they
said,
sell nobody... popcorn.
Yeah, but I mean, like, yeah, what would be a good gloves. Thing for them to sell that people actually would want?
Well, you need something with variety, like cookies, but not cookies, which is real tough because it needs to be able to be stored, not very perishable. It's a tough, like, I don't know. I really don't know what they would do.
Yeah, that's the thing is that those girls aren't baking those cookies.
No,
yeah. Those girls aren't baking those cookies.
Right.
I think those boys are popping that corn.
Now, here's the thing, though. Some children somewhere in another country are probably making the cookies, but not those children specifically.
Where's their badges?
Yeah.
What badge is that?
I think...
Do the kids
economic
in the sweatshop...
taken advantage of?
Do the kids in the sweatshop get to wear the outfits and everything? It's funny, too, because the little Girl Scouts, they're wearing, like, these little blue vests, so it looks like they're all little Walmart greeters.
Oh, God.
Wait, blue? I thought it was green.
I think it's different for different places.
Okay.
It's different if you're colorblind. Yeah. So they don't make their own outfits. They don't bake their own cookies. They don't stay out in the wilderness. What's real about them? It sounds like a big fake organization to me. It sounds like a big bunch of bullshit. It sounds like a scam.
That is very authentic. That is the, you know, I live in America and can afford to go to Girl Scout camp lifestyle.
Now, what if kids from space America camp had to sell something?
I sell the cookies. Oh, we're getting delayed, aren't we?
Maybe. Unlike Dead Pallet, who's getting delayed, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh. What?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. With that. I suppose so, yeah.
Not without a condom, though. All right, so do we want to segue somehow, like segue elegantly into our story, or...
Well, much like the controversial nature of Girl Scouts and their ethical cookie selling, let's go to a controversial no sleep story. There, you're welcome.
An ethical cookie salesmanship is the name of the debut album for my band, Girl Scout Troop 791.
Hmm. Shouldn't it be like 187?
What's 187?
Oh, the criminal code for murder.
Ooh, that's good. Yeah.
Troop 187.
And for your debut album name, it's got to be Accidental Condom. Oops, my condom.
Yo, man, you ever about to sleep with some chick, and you pull out your dick, and you realize you left a condom on it? Accidental Condom. Oh,
like,
man.
Shit, I left my condom with the Girl Scouts.
Fuck. Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
Oh, Boy Scouts should sell condoms.
Oh.
Yeah, they should sell condoms door-to-door. Pitching a tent? Try this, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Is your junk tied up in knots? You know, try it. Yeah. I don't know what... That's the end of my ideas.
Anyone have any other Boy Scout condom?
If you know what
jokes?
The Boy Scouts should sell to finally economically compete with the Girl Scouts, leave a comment below.
Hmm.
Yes, yeah, sure, yeah.
Should the Boy Scouts start an alternative to YouTube? God. Anyway.
They would be more competent, but I don't see them being successful.
Yeah, no.
Speaking of sleeping out in the wilderness, you know what's out there? Spiders. You ever feel them crawling on your skin? That's what our story's about.
You feel them now? Crawling in your ears? Up your pee hole?
God damn it. Try new spider repellent condoms.
What? Why are you putting on a condom for bed? Don't want no spiders crawl up in them.
No, listen.
Girl, I don't know you.
Well, there's a lot of spiders out here.
Oh, man.
I don't want to hear it, Michelle.
Oh, fucking hell.
Okay, yeah. So today's story is from No Sleep. It is the current... Is this a top-rated controversial one?
Yeah, or... we read the top-rated one on a previous episode, and then right after we read that, the top-rated story for several years was upset, thrown out by another story, so...
Well, that's the top-rated. Is this the most controversial? Or
no,
just
this
like
is the top-rated. This is the new top-rated one.
Okay.
And then we're going to surprise everybody by reading another one after this, which is the most controversial.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay, cool.
Surprise. There's going to be a surprise later that surprise. You already know. Have you ever looked at a picture of spiders and felt skin crawling on you? Crawling on your skin? Well, the reason you feel spiders crawling all over you is because there are spiders crawling all over you. Submitted 6 years ago by Deleted.
Yep. User is deleted. But yeah, that is the title for anybody wondering.
Yes.
Is this the most controversial or is this the most... This can't be the highest rated because it's got 11 fucking votes.
No, this is the controversial.
Oh, this is the controversial one. Okay.
This is, however, the most No Sleep thing I've ever read so far. Just because of that title.
Yeah. I don't even know how to feel about this. Oh, it's actually at 8 now. I reloaded it and it went from 11 to 8. Okay.
But that makes sense that it would be a low number because people are upvoting it and downvoting it constantly. Yeah. So it would remain near 0.
Mine's that's at right. 6 now. But all right.
Whoa. Very controversial.
Now it's back at 11. Never mind.
I'm going to downvote it myself and then I'm going to upvote it. Downvote it. Upvote it. Does this work? Does it make it more controversial if I just keep downvoting and upvoting over and over?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just going to keep doing that. All right,
52% upvoted.
Jesus.
Okay. Who wants to start us off?
Well, you read the title, and that's a paragraph in and of itself. So
yeah.
Usually we would go to Abysme next, I guess.
Yeah, we'll do it. Let's begin with a quick explanation of how the human body works. The pee comes out now. Because, as you're about to find out, the body is actually a broken piece of garbage.
Damn.
Damn. Damn, that's really.
And Abysme is a lawyer, so he would know.
Mm-hmm. Try people... new
broken piece of garbage condoms.
Pee comes out, spiders don't go in.
What people can feel, see, touch, hear, and smell is painfully limited, so 90% of the Earth's natural actions will never come to our attention.
Hmm.
Okay. That's a sentence. An example of our body's ignorance is the electromagnetic spectrum, both visible and invisible light, which anyone with even a brief history of science knows humans are mostly blind to. In short, there are constantly invisible events and beings around us that we will never know about. I'm not even going to go into this opening paragraph, scientific method.
So that's weird that you're really down on this. I think it's fine. So maybe you do want to elaborate, because all of this is working for me.
How exactly do you quantify 90% of the Earth's natural actions will never come to our attention?
How do you quantify 95% of the matter in the universe is dark matter?
How do you quantify 90% of shut the fuck up, Abysme?
Yeah, so like... It works for me, because I don't know enough about fucking science. I don't know how we measure dark matter. So how do
Okay, but you could go look that up and you could read that paper. This thing just says 90% of Earth's natural actions. Let's define what a natural action
right.
is.
Right. Exactly, like what actions is the Earth committing? What actions is it doing that we can't perceive?
Also, you do experience electromagnetic, like, you know, it does affect you. You may not know it, but it's not like we're ignorant of it. So that's another problem here.
Well, I mean, we have no idea how magnets even work, so.
How the fuck do those work?
No, people are ignorant of that. If you go ask somebody like, hey, how's the electromagnetivity and the weather today?
And then you open your wallet and shoot a condom out at them.
I swear to God, there was like a little gnome in the condom that just launched it out. In the wallet that launched the condom out. There was a little gnome in
the condom. Oh, man. We're never going to get through this. See, this is a very short story, but we're going to take an hour to read it.
Probably.
Included in these invisible beings are insects known as spider T974s, because they haven't been truly named by science.
What the
Yeah.
See, now, here's the point where I wonder, is this, could this actually be true? Depending on how it proceeds, there may be something like, you know, where they say, you know, have you ever seen fucking fairy wasps?
Don't think so.
Oh, fairy wasps are literally like microscopic wasps. And it's just the strangest fucking thing, because they're a wasp, but they're incredibly small, and they're just like...
Oh,
so maybe this will be something like that? I don't know. But
kind of like... oh, shit, what are water bears called? The proper name for that?
Tardigrades, yeah. I don't think we can say that, though. We might have to censor that out.
Yeah, probably. So tardigrades, like, okay, fine. Those have been observed. Maybe this other stuff has?
Maybe.
But that's better. That's at least more believable than the opening paragraph. For me,
I googled it, and nope. So,
So the spider T-1000s don't exist?
Oh, fuck.
Oh, well.
They're very close to being spider T-1000s.
Truly named by science.
About 26 off.
These spiders are barely poisonous, and only have venom strong enough to get you mildly sick. Ever heard of rhinovirus? That's a Spider-Man villain. The common cold? Sure you have, but most people sick with rhino virus, ladies and gentlemen, have never even been near a rhino.
What if Rhino, the Spider-Man villain, got infected by a symbiote?
Oh, that'd be awesome!
And then he would be rhinovirus.
See, here's the thing, I feel like they've probably done this before. I've always wanted to see every Spider-Man villain with a symbiote and just see what, you know, kind of crazy-ass storyline that would be. I would assume they probably did it and just nobody cared, but...
Would I be remiss in saying that Venom is the only really interesting part of Spider-Man? Because for me, that's it. I could care less about Peter Parker and what he does.
What about the Shocker? Venom's pretty cool.
The Shocker. I think
he shocks people.
Venom was, and you know, I know that everybody pretty much knows this, but just to, you know, follow through with the thought, Venom sort of stemmed from that thing of making Spider-Man literally a darker character, but it didn't work for him, you know, because he's always been like the peppy Boy Scout kind of character, so they wanted to keep dark, edgy Spider-Man, but they didn't want to ruin the original Spider-Man, so they just said, well, what if we make it two guys? And that's sort of like Venom, I think, represents that. I don't know.
One day, Peter Parker was out selling popcorn with the Boy Scouts. And suddenly...
suddenly, someone ejected a black condom at him.
maybe Black Cat, the cat thief, steals the cookies from the poor African children in the sweatshops. And then sells them.
There's so much wrong with that scenario. First of all, she's a cat thief because she steals cats. and I don't... Would they be made in Africa or would they be made in, like, Asia? I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably Asia.
I mean, I'm not saying that you can't get good cookies in Africa. I'm just saying. I'm sure that you can.
I'm sure you can... If you try hard enough, you can open a sweatshop and enslave children anywhere. You just gotta believe in yourself.
That's right.
And if everyone is offended by that, that's why they call me the Shocker.
Pff, fucking goddamn it.
Shocker's the coolest enemy. Every day I shock. Every night I shock.
Uh-huh.
But it's static shock. I don't think so.
Such a funny coincidence. Spider T-1000s are supposed to look like horned black widows, giving them a rhino appearance. It's only appropriate if I refer to the spiders as rhino spiders for the rest of this post.
This now, feels like a troll pasta.
I have a question for you, Abysme. Have you ever looked at a picture of a troll pasta and felt a troll pasta crawling on your skin?
I wouldn't say on my skin, but other parts of me, yes.
I don't know. I'm conflicted, because I think conceptually I see what this story is attempting, but... I think someone had a really cool speculative idea in their head, and I think that there's funny things about how it's being executed. I don't know that it's necessarily a troll pasta.
Okay, what if spiders were rhinos and rhino virus. Write that one down. Right. Okay, that's what this feels like. This has no logic to it.
No, but I've
just cooties. But go ahead.
I mean, I can see the thought processes of this person where it's like, okay, there's no logic to this, but it's like a guttural feeling of like rhinos and spiders, and then whoa, man, what if spiders are all over us all the time? And then I just think about like some of the half-written stories I have written down where I haven't figured out a way to make it logical yet. I think that this story just didn't find a way to make itself logical and execute itself.
I mean, we'll
okay,
see.
Those ideas of yours, they, are they stories or are they like outlines or like just kind of a like a train of thought?
Yes, yes, and yes. All of those. Okay. All of the above.
Okay. Because this feels like just like throwing, you know, a listicle together and being like, yep, there we go, story.
It may go on to shock us, you know.
Maybe. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Who's to say, really?
Abysme is to say with this next paragraph. Mm-hmm.
You must be asking yourself, well, why can't I see them? As stated earlier, you stupid dumbass, a rhino spider exoskeleton mixes with light. Yeah, that was stated earlier.
That was not stated earlier.
Uh-huh, okay. Mixes with light so precisely that the light sensitivity is... I'm getting angry. I'm getting real angry.
Can I just say one thing? You may ask yourself, why can't I see them? And you may ask yourself, why am I covered in spiders?
Okay, a rhino spider exoskeleton mixes with light so precisely that the light sensitivity is changed, pushing it out of the visible spectrum. That makes no sense. Rhino spiders are very sensitive and try to move away from even the smallest change in the environment.
Rhino spiders has an L-shaped bar and absolutely no curb appeal. If you look at their sign, you can see that it's not visible light.
I don't embrace spiders. I embrace rhinos.
I don't embrace viruses. I embrace vaccines.
Okay. Let's say you're looking at a picture of a spider and your hair just barely stands up. To the rhino spiders, that small change is quite startling and sends them running down your arms or legs. There's nothing you can do about it, because as recently discovered, there are a lot of them.
Oof. The worst thing that this story could have done is to say, there are a lot of us. So thankfully...
Well, that's true.
I read a story recently that did something along those lines of like, where are the insects and we don't like you or whatever. But, yes.
That's like an entirely different Charlotte's Web message.
Yes.
Fuck you!
Send nudes.
Anti-Semitic Charlotte's Web is running through my head now as a concept. They're kind of going down this line of, you know, you think of spiders and then you feel spiders all over you. It's a completely different phenomenon than spiders potentially being small and invisible.
It feels like the here's something that's already scary. I'm gonna try to make a lost episode out of it so it's more scary, and not working because that doesn't work.
Yeah,
like you know, spiders, yes, very real, very, everyone has, like, a certain amount of arachnophobia, because it's just, like, a natural reflex. But what if there were, like, microscopic ones that you've never seen before, that are, like, black widows? Like, spiders are already scary. You don't need to do this.
I just wonder, you know, as I say with most things, it's competently written in that the story, you know, has sentences and things like that.
How would you rate the story? Has sentences.
Yeah, but I mean, like, the logic...
That is humanity's most backhanded compliment of all time.
Somebody recently said to me, I said something to somebody, and they said, that's either a really nice thing to say or a multi-layered insult, and I'm like, up to you to decide. But the thing is with this, I think the logic behind it doesn't hang together in such a way that it kind of... it's sort of like an unforgivable kind of thing. Like, you can't sit here and read this and not eventually think, if they retreat from any kind of change in climate, then when you take a bath, you would feel like a million of them on your face. you know, like the only thing out of the water, and, you know, different things like that.
You walk into an air-conditioned building and it's hot outside. Boom, spiders.
Yeah, I mean, you touch your skin, you touch your arms, you touch your hands, you touch your legs and your face, you know, all day, every day. So you would constantly feel spiders. You know, so I don't know.
Okay, bearing that in mind, it's a time to read my next paragraph. Mm-hmm. But I finished the cherry blossom. Should I go into the gold apple, the artisan blend, or the rosé apple?
Yes.
Let's scale it down to rosé next.
Mix all
rosé.
Three.
All right, I'll do it. Natural predators can't see them either, so their numbers grow and grow and grow until they're everywhere you go is covered with them. I don't mean to frighten you, but chances are that your home, car, and workplace have rhino spider infestations.
I don't mean to frighten you with my scary story, but...
Oh! Now we know what threw the condom out of the wallet. It was a bunch of little spiders. change in climate, throw.
We're sensing a lot of Girl Scout cookies. Quick, you check condom.
God damn it.
Okay. Maybe more difficult to come to terms with is their size. You already said microscopic. Mm. Sure, most of them are relatively small, but failure of crowd control by nature's natural hunters has caused some rhino spiders to grow incredibly big. Some are believed to be as large as small children. Okay. Sure. Whatever. Cool.
Do they also climb all over people?
Well, they sell Girl Scout cookies.
Oh, I see. I'm just wondering, if you have a spider that's as large as a small child and the spiders are all over your body, I mean, this would be like... This would explain why I saw that guy, like, dragging himself to work the other day, looking really confused. Like, you know, what's so heavy? Why can't I move? Think about it.
Mr. Biz, are you okay? Spiders!
Spiders everywhere!
Rhino spiders!
Think about it. Have you ever laid in your bed at night and heard scratches from outside?
No, never.
Oh, it's just the trees. That's in quotation marks. The trees are always scratching against your house, but somehow that's the only time you hear it? What if the strong winds are startling the massive rhino spiders outside, and they're moving around to become more comfortable in the storm? They probably would just be under your house or...
In the storm, which is a change in temperature and environment, that should scare them off. Hmm.
These aren't pretty images, are they?
Just finish it. Go ahead.
Oh, if you have a fear of spiders,
well, here we go.
If you have a fear of spiders, you shouldn't read this. If you have a fear of spiders, your only one hope is to get over it very quickly, because the truth isn't going anywhere.
Now, I just want to point out, you are only hope is to get over it, but yeah.
Mm.
Welcome to You Are Doom.
Ugh. Yeah, that's great. That's great. Are you guys adequately spider-pilled yet?
Spider-pilled.
Go ahead, wash your hands and brush your arms.
Wash your hands and brush your arms.
Billy, did you brush your arms before going to sleep? Yes, mother.
Must be some, like, hairy Italian little girl.
Not now, Mom. I gotta go sell Girl Scout cookies.
Hey, you buy my cookie. Come on.
Just a little girl with hairy arms smoking a cigarette.
You want some Thin Mints or what?
Oh, man.
Is that a fucking condom?
Marvel shocks the world by having the next shocker be a little Italian girl with hairy arms and smokes cigarettes.
Oh, man.
It's not working, is it? They will always be with you, watching you, on you, just waiting to give you the next bite. Well, yeah. If we're living with these rhino spiders and just going about our business, then who gives a shit?
Number one comment with 74 points from Cobra Little. If I can't see them, I don't give a fuck.
Kind of, yeah. Kind of, yeah. simply because, like, if they are living with us, then clearly there's some type of symbiosis there.
I mean, we got shit living in our eyelashes, so I mean,
yeah,
I don't give like, a shit.
It's like saying there's a parallel dimension where Hitler didn't die and now he's a cyborg and he's killing all kinds of people. And it's like, okay, well, that's a parallel dimension I don't live in, so why do I care?
Oh, my God, Dead Pallet.
No one knows.
Dead Pallet. You got to get woke about alternate realities.
I'm so- I'm sorry, I just don't care. I'm fine with alternate dimension cyber Hitler.
All right, well, I just want to say that Dead Pallet does not represent the views of this channel or the hosts of this show. Hashtag alt lives matter, so...
Yeah. That doesn't represent something very different on Twitter.
doesn't represent the opinions of the host of this show, for which he is one.
Yeah.
He doesn't represent his own opinion.
I don't represent... Nobody... Yeah, Dead Pallet doesn't represent his own opinion. Dead Pallet is drunk. Forgive him, everybody.
I'm not. Drunk enough.
Shut up. I'm not drunk.
Oh, man. So, what do we have anything more to say about spiders and rhino spiders?
What makes this controversial? That it's poorly written? Or that it's a cheap ploy of arachnophobia to try to get to people?
I have a question.
It's the first paragraph. The first paragraph is fine. You disagree, but like I can see how... It's enticing first paragraph, and then a lot of the times, I think that that's all people pay attention to, and so people got duped by the first paragraph.
It's an interesting science fiction story, I guess. Would I be incorrect?
I think it's interesting.
I mean, I wouldn't call it like horror because it sort of is like there are insects that blend in with their environment. And it's like, okay. I mean, they're not killing
insects.
People. They're not doing anything terrible. They're not, you know, influencing us. They're just kind of biting us once in a while, and you kind of itch.
Well, there's that quote-unquote story by The Little Fears where she's just narrating a story about how deep-sea anglerfish reproduce. Now, is that a horror story? I would say it is. Because it's fucking horrifying.
See, that's the thing. That's the thing is what I'm saying, though, is that these invisible spiders, every once in a while, they give you, like, an itchy bite. You know, that's not, you know, like, with the anglerfish, there's some bad shit happening there. You know, that's, like, some horrifying stuff.
Reading about the reproductive methods of anglerfish is a scary experience. I would not say it's a scary story.
Sure. But then it kind of becomes less important what the fuck it even is. It's just an experience, and you're trying to sift through those feelings, you know, that it evokes.
And then eventually it becomes a fetish.
Sexual vampirism.
Are you guys into deep sea angling?
Fuck yeah.
So I would say that Abysme probably will get this reference the most. I kind of wonder... Why is this on here on No Sleep for several years when other stories that won't be mentioned are removed for not being horror? No names mentioned about whose stories. Could be anybody who had like five or six stories removed for not being horror.
Because this one had spiders in it and uses the word where was it? Didn't it like, say horrifying or scary or something in here? I don't know. Fucking like it checks the boxes.
Yeah. So do we want to move on to the new top story?
God, yes.
Linked in the fucking Skype chat. Recording on Skype, by the way, not Discord. Because we are shit.
Well, none of us are recording this. Elias is the one recording this.
That's true.
And
true.
It's the only thing he can get to work.
Hmm. Well,
he's
isn't
not
there
a
like
fan
a Mormon... don't the Mormons prohibit software created within a certain amount of time, like from the past year or two?
There's a Mormon moratorium on Discord.
Right. I mean, like, I don't know what we're going to do because Elias can't even update Discord, and they're going to, like...
Well, technically, he's not even allowed to use it because, you know, it links to other programs and it likes to link to your Steam account. And, you know, to them, that's like, you know, evidence of the devil
right.
in media. So... I feel real bad for him, personally.
Yeah, and of course we're on, because of the terms of everything that's happened, we're on, we're in contact with his parents, and so there's a certain stewardship and responsibility that we have over Elias.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, a shattered life with 23.3K.
Wow. 23,300 upvotes. New number one story from 6 months ago.
By M59Gar.
M59Gar. Whatever that means.
My favorite Pokemon.
He must have been born in 1959.
Clearly.
Yes. All right, so this is a shattered life. Now, who's starting us off? Are we starting off like we usually do in order, or are we going from the order of who last read?
It's a shattered life. It's a shattered life.
Yes.
That is indeed
the title. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the reference, so I never know any
references.
It's
a beautiful life.
Okay.
It's a shattered life. Hmm. It was the most intact of lives. It was the most shattered of lives.
God damn it. That should be the first line of this story.
I don't know when you're going to read this, but I can tell you when it started. I was out for a walk alone in the woods when the entity came for me. Hmm. It was beyond a blur. It was, for lack of a better term, absence of meaning. Where it hid, there were no trees. Where it crept closer, there was no grass. Through the arc it leapt at me, there was no breeze of motion. There was no air at all.
Hmm.
It's
alternate reality it's... Hitler. No, go ahead.
Yes. Alternate reality, cyber Hitler. Grass doesn't grow around him.
Now, wait a minute. Is this like an 80s cartoon now?
Yes.
Yes.
Cyber Hitler.
In that dimension, he was right.
Fucking hell. Well, who knows what his philosophies even were in the alternate dimension? He could have been
He was a Buddhist.
Yeah, he wasn't even a painter in that dimension, so it's cool.
There you go. He just wanted to paint, and the world didn't understand his paintings, so he had to kill a few people, you know.
He wasn't a painter or an artist of any kind. Though he considered himself an artist, he worked with machinery to make himself a cyborg.
I see, I see.
Yes, but this first paragraph is jumping right into the deep end, which is fine. You know, there's nothing wrong with coming out and really grabbing your audience's attention.
Right.
It's just, where are we going? Is there going to be a moment where we back up and explain what this entity is, or why they're using this kind of poetic language?
Right.
Where it's like, it was, for lack of a better term, absence of meaning.
You know,
there are times
really...
when you're lost for words to describe something. And this might come off as pretentious here, but I think that I've been in that situation where I'm like, yeah, this is the way that I describe my feelings.
This really does seem like it could have had. It was the best of lives. It was a shattered life. I mean, you know.
I'm fine with this as long as the payoff is worth it.
Right. So it has to maintain that.
Yeah, it's definitely a high bar you set for yourself if you start a story like this. But, yeah, we'll see. As it struck, I felt the distinct sensation of claws puncturing me somewhere unseen, somewhere I'd never felt before. Mm. My hands and arms and legs and torso seemed fine, and I wasn't bleeding, but I knew I'd been injured somehow. As I fearfully ran back home, I could tell I was less. I was vaguely tired. And it was hard to focus at times. I had ADD. It was horrible.
Is this a story written from the perspective of Luigi dying in the new Smash Brothers?
Dude, okay. I'm glad we were having the same thought.
All right. The solution at that early stage was easy. A big cup of coffee helped me feel normal again. Sponsored by Folgers Crystals.
Best part of waking up.
Is no sleep in your feed.
Oh, God.
That is not true. For a while, the subtle drain on my spirit became lost in the ebb and flow of caffeine in my system. I guess caffeine has like preternatural effects on the body, then?
Hell yes.
You could say my life began that week, actually, because that was when I met Mar. She and I got along great, though to be honest, I'm pretty sure I fell in love with her over the phone before we even met.
I hope Mar isn't the otherworldly thing in disguise.
Oh, no.
I mean, with a name like Mar, you know.
Maybe, yeah.
What's your last name? Shin? Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
It was almost as if the strong emotions of that first week made the entity fight back. It was still with me, latched on to some invisible part of my being, probably the electromagnetic spectrum that rhino spiders live on.
Something takes a part of me.
God damn it.
Something lost in never.
Something, 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 something. Because I don't remember how it goes.
Can we take a break for me to pee?
No.
I've drinking a lot of hard cider.
All right, well, you know the rules. Elias has to usher you to the bathroom and make sure you don't touch yourself.
No, we can keep reading. I don't need to pee. I was just doing a bit.
All right. Now I don't remember who was reading. Is it me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. The first few, is that right?
Yep.
Boy, you mentioned pee, and all my thoughts go out the window. The first few incidents were minor, and I hardly worried about them. The color of a neighbor's car changed from dark blue to black one morning, and I stared at it before shaking my head and shrugging off the difference. Several weeks later, Cyber Hitler was our president. No. Two days later, at work, a coworker's name changed from Fred to Dan. Fuck Dan. I carefully asked around, but everyone said his name had always been Dan. I just figured I'd been mistaken.
Now, I'm okay with this.
Hmm. Yeah.
I kind of like being affected in small ways where you start to doubt your sanity. Just fucking getting older makes you doubt your sanity because you forget things and you, you're not as good as certain tasks as before. So I like that. That's a good little detail.
Is this written from the perspective of Nelson Mandela?
Yes.
I don't follow.
The Mandela effect. Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. Then, as ridiculous as this sounds, I was peeing in the bathroom at home. Yeah, that sounds ridiculous. When I suddenly found myself on a random street.
A condom launched out of my pocket in front of everyone.
Oh, my shame. I was still in my pajamas, pants down, and urinating, but now in full view of dozens of people at a bus stop.
Woo!
Horrified, I pulled my clothes. You can't do that. You still got to finish. You got to finish your pee and shake it off. Hashtag shake it off. That's shake right. it off.
That's what that Horrified. Song is about, right? Being in public. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Making sure you don't get urine on your underwear.
Right.
Horrified, I pulled up my clothes and ran before someone called the cops. I did manage to get home, but the experience forced me to admit that I was still in danger. The entity was doing something to me, and I didn't understand how to fight back.
Mar showed up that evening, but she had her own key.
Hey, I asked her with confusion. How'd you get a key? Never ask your significant other that.
I should have changed the stupid lock. God, I should have made you leave your key. She just laughed. You're cute. Are you sure you're okay with this? She opened the door and entered a room full of boxes. I know living together is a big step, especially when we've only been dating 3 months. This is, I don't have a problem with the general premise of this. It's just moving hella quick.
Right.
And it's kind of a long story, so are they rushing into something here, or, I don't know.
Yeah, do you mean their relationship or the story?
Yes.
Both. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Living together, wake up, grab a brush, put a little makeup. Why'd you leave the keys up on the table? I'd literally just met her the week before. Thing was, my mother had always called me a smart Girl Scout cookie for a reason. I knew when to shut my yap. Instead of causing a scene, I told her everything was fine, and then I went straight to my room and began investigating.
I went up to my wall of pictures with string, drawing them together.
At the center is Mar.
Hey, Mar.
Circles.
written underneath. Who the fuck?
How my things.
Oh, go ahead.
Never mind.
Oh. My things were just as I had left them, with no sign of a 3-month gap in habitation. But I did find something out of the ordinary. The date. I shivered angrily as I processed the truth.
The entity had eaten 3 months of my life.
Cut my life into pizza. Feed it.
Cut
to the
my
entity.
Life into 3 months.
God damn it.
What the hell was I facing? What kind of creature could consume pieces of one's soul like that? I'd missed the most exciting part of a new relationship, and I would never understand any shared stories or in-jokes from that period.
Uh-oh.
Something absurdly precious had been taken from me, and I was furious. I don't know. I didn't, like, get to the in-joke comfortable phase of my current relationship until maybe about a year in. Maybe that's just me.
That happened pretty immediately for me.
Hmm.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm just, you know, picturing...
What if they're a virgin and they miss losing their virginity?
It's just, it would be interesting if you're just hanging around with your significant other and something, you know, they drop something in the kitchen, some plate breaks or something, and they turn to you and go, ah, the fucking Eskimos again! And you're like, oh, yeah!
Yeah,
sure.
Note to self, Mar hates Eskimos.
God damn it. So the entity had eaten 3 months of my life. What the hell was I? That fury helped suppress the entity. I never imbibed alcohol. So is the entity representative of something like drug use or something?
It does feel like some type of vice or shameful habit that they're trying to not let affect their relationship.
Yeah, maybe, I think you're onto something. I think he's reading vice, and that's taking up a lot of his time. That fury helped suppress the entity. I never imbibed alcohol. I drank coffee religiously. I checked the date every time I woke up. For 3 years, I managed to live each day while observing nothing more than minor altercations. A social fact here and there.
Alterations. No, I like that.
Minor altercations. I was thinking to myself, I'll have to come back to that because that's not the right word. But it was me, not them. A social fact here and there. Someone's job, how many kids they had, that sort of thing. Thanos had snapped half of them away. The layout of nearby streets. The time my favorite television show aired. That kind of thing. Because that never changes when they air television shows. Always those changes reminded me the creature still had its claws sunk into my spirit. Not once in 3 years did I ever let myself zone out. Okay. I really am feeling like this is like a allegory for something.
Always those changes reminded me what I really am.
God damn it.
I think, I was going to say something. I don't know. I'd be fine with an entity possessing me if I could witness minor altercations every day. It's two people start fucking each other up at a bus stop.
Yeah. Yeah, you just appear there with your dick in your hand taking a piss, and then, you know, this couple starts fighting because one of them was looking. He's like, what are you looking at him for? But yeah.
One day, I grew careless. I let myself get really into the season finale of my favorite show. It was gripping, a fantastic story. Right at the height of the action, a young boy came up to my lounger and shook my arm.
Some type of furniture?
I was so mad at being interrupted at the last episode of Channel Zero.
I was so mad at being interrupted at the season finale of favorite show.
Yeah. I chimed in with, haven't you kids ever heard of
changing the goddamn channel.
God damn it.
Surprised, I asked, who are you? How did you get in here?
He laughed and smiled brightly. Silly daddy. Tricks are for kids.
Sucker.
Silly yeah. daddy.
That is why we use human garbage brand condoms. My heart sank into my chest. I knew immediately what had happened. I asked a few masked questions. I discovered he was 2 years old and that he was my son.
I would think that was obvious from silly daddy, but
I knew immediately what had happened. I had finally gotten laid.
I knew immediately what had happened. That damn mailman.
Those damn Eskimos.
What I didn't understand was why he was black and I'm white and Mar's white.
Mar, get in here.
First my neighbor's car turns black, now my son. What entity, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're trying to test me here. Come on. I'm not gonna point it out, entity.
The agony and heartache filling my chest was nearly unbearable. Not only had I missed the birth of my son, I missed his conception. I would never see or know the first years of his life. That's fine. He's probably shitting a lot, and that's about it.
It's like an invisible spider. Who nights. Cares?
Yeah. Who cares? You don't know it. Yeah. Mar and I had obviously gotten married.
I love how fucking
married.
Nihilistic Abysme is about relationships, and he's just like, no. You can skip the first year of your relationship.
No. Relationships are fine. I'm happy with that. And just for me, the first year was, I don't know, it was a lot of getting used to myself being in a long-term relationship, I guess. But kids, like, if I could just, like, I don't want kids personally, but if I could just skip to the point where they're talking, I don't have to, like, fucking take care of them constantly, fine. Okay.
If That's you could cool. skip to the part where they're gainfully employed and sending checks yeah. back.
Yeah. Visiting and bringing me stuff, that's fine. Okay, yeah. Mar and I had obviously gotten married and started a family in the time I'd lost, and I had no idea what joys or pains those years contained. Almost rhymed.
It was snowing outside. There were Eskimos everywhere, staring silently.
Throwing plates at our front lawn.
Give back the seal, they chanted. I had no idea what they meant. It was snowing outside. Holding my sudden son in my lap. That's a good song, Sudden Son. Mm-hmm. I sat and watched the flakes fall outside. What kind of life was this going to be if slips in concentration could cost me years? I had to get help. No shit.
A really easy, painless one.
Mm.
And then I noticed my son had rubella, and then I realized that my wife is an anti-vaxxer.
Mar!
I missed that conversation. Apparently I lost.
No, we're not against vaccines. We just use our own vaccines. We are DIY vaxxers.
Oh God.
The church had no idea what to do. The priests didn't believe me, and I told them I had health issues rather than some sort of possession.
My God, Elias, did you write this? You write this?
I think it might be. I mean, there was that period of time where we let him take like a 15-minute break.
Mm-mm.
Out of all the weeks he's been working.
No, he would not have. The church would know what was going on, and it would be the Church of Latter-day Saints.
This is a horror story to him. What if the church doesn't know? That's the scariest part.
Oh my God! Wait a minute. I just realized what this is. This our main character is Homer Simpson. His wife is Marge.
Holy shit!
He doesn't remember certain periods of time because it's between parts of story in the episodes.
Oh my! Oh wow!
That's what's going on.
Oh wow!
If he gets,
I can see Homer peeing in the middle of the street.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then he goes, "Ah!"
Constantly asking questions, looking stupid and confused.
Right.
Sure. That's Homer
Reverend
Simpson.
Reverend Lovejoy didn't know what to tell me. Now Homer.
Now Homer.
I don't think you're possessed.
I think you're dumb.
Now, right. Homer, don't ruin this for me.
Barack Obama? I don't know. My Homer impression sounds like a talking dog, so I don't think that's any good.
Well, that's people have described Homer as a dumb talking dog.
That's true.
There is a common Simpsons theory that there's an episode where he goes into a coma, and then the seasons preceding that are very, like, they kind of change writers, and they just became obsessed with celebrity appearances, and just the show
Michelle Obama.
Absurd.
God damn it.
So it fits. The doctors didn't have a clue. Nothing showed up.
I want you to be nice to James Gunn. But yeah.
Nothing showed up on all their scans and tests, but they happily took my money in return for nothing. You can't trust them, because they're not Mormon.
Fucking Dr. Hibbert. Maybe, actually, that sounds more like Dr. Nick Riviera, to be honest.
Yeah, that's yeah.
It seems like you're having a time slip. I can't do any Simpsons voices. By the time I ran out of options, I decided to tell Marge. There was no way, there was no way to know what this all looked like from her side. What was I like when I wasn't there? Did I still take our son to school? Did I still do my job at the nuclear plant? Clearly I did, because she seemed to be none the wiser. But I still had a horrible feeling that something must have been missing in her life when I wasn't actually home inside my own head.
Maybe the entity that possessed our protagonist here, Homer, was... what's his name? What's the name of the...
Frank Grimes?
The New Haven nuisance. No, the guy who runs the power plant.
Mr. Burns. Oh,
Mr. Burns, yeah. when he got high and was wandering irradiated yes! through the field. That was the being.
Oh, God. Something came at me, groaning. No, wait, it was actually graining.
Did you finish that paragraph?
Hmm?
Okay. But the night I set up a nice dinner in preparation, she arrived not by unlocking the front door, but by knocking on it. I answered and found that she was in a nice dress.
She was happily surprised by the settings on the table. A fancy dinner for a second date? I knew you were sweet on me. All right, so time slip. Definitely time slip.
So now he's going through reruns. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank the Lord I knew when to keep my mouth shut. If I'd gone on about... I just sort of sighed because we said that before. Yep. If I'd gone on about being married and having a son, she might have run for the hills. Instead, I took her coat and sat down for our second date.
What, is she a hectopod from yes. Arrival?
Maybe.
Yes.
Maybe. Though carefully, through carefully crafted questions, I managed to deduce the truth. This was really our second date. Oh, really? She saw relief and happiness in me, mm-hmm. but interrupted that as dating jitters. Interpreted that as dating jitters. There we go. I was just excited to realize that the entity wasn't necessarily eating whole portions of my life. The symptoms, as I was beginning to understand them, were more like the consequences of a shattered soul. Hmm. Oh, shit, there's a title. The creature had wounded me, broken me into pieces. Perhaps I was to live my life out of order, but at least I would actually get to live it.
Hmm.
How would you feel about this situation happening to you? Would you be like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm not really getting the, oh my God, this is a unendurable nightmare, because it's not like he's getting hurt. Nothing really bad seems to happen even when the slips happen. It's not like, and then I woke up and then my son was dead. I was at his funeral. He just is kind of going through the paces of life without
and then
poor Bart sucked out of a plane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't buried. His body was just lying in front of the gravestone.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it would get tiring. Like, after the first few times it happened, you'd stop caring and you just would be like,
yeah,
you know,
this is life now.
Yeah, because, I mean, how many
it's
days...
A living.
Oh, go ahead.
It's a living.
Yeah, it's a living. How many times can you sit there and keep interested in asking a bunch of veiled questions to figure out what's going on? Eventually you'd just be like, what? Fuck. We have to go see the inspector about the invisible spiders? Okay, whatever. I don't need to know anything about it. Let's just go talk to him.
The last experience you have is just picking your nose.
Okay. Satisfying.
Oh, well.
And so it went for a few years, from my perspective. While minor changes in politics or geography would happen daily, I moved to Canada on some days. Major shifts in my mental location only happened every couple months. When I found myself in a new place and time in my life, I just shut up and listened, making sure to get the lay of the land before doing anything to avoid making mistakes. On the farthest flung leap yet, I met my 6-year-old grandson, and I asked him what he wanted to be when he grew up. He said, writer. I told him, that was a terrible idea, yeah. You'll never make it, and you're horrible, and that's not going to sustain you in today's economy, God. And that it was a fine idea.
We get it. You wrote a story and you think writers are cool. But yeah, I mean,
he said writer, and I told him he would grow up to be handsome and have a giant dick.
we both were
adept
at lying.
A lot of big dick energy off of you.
God damn it. All right. Then I was back in month two of my relationship with Marge, and I had the best night with her on the riverfront. When I say the best, I mean the best. Knowing how special she would become to me, I asked her to move in. I got to live through what I'd missed the first go-round, and I came to understand that I was never mentally absent. I would always be there, eventually. She slipped on an Eskimo pie, and that explained it all. When we were moving...
It was that night that I learned that she was also into deep-sea angling.
God damn it.
And we tried it for the first time.
It was a bit scary, but I think I'm going to like it.
When we were moving... Fucking goddamn it.
Go, I'm sorry.
When we were moving her boxes in, she stopped for a moment and said she marveled at my great love, as if I'd known her for a long time and never once doubted she was the one.
Marveled.
Aw, damn it.
That was the first night I truly laughed freely and wholeheartedly since the entity had wounded me. She was right about my love for her, but for exactly the reason she'd considered a silly romantic analogy. I had known her my whole life, but I'd come to terms with my situation and found peace with it. It wasn't so bad to have sneak peeks at all the best parts ahead.
Uh-huh.
So this is on a very high note, so naturally it's going to have to go to a very low note very soon.
I hope so, because I'm not down with a romance story, my dudes.
None of this strikes as horror to me. Like, I got hurt by a thing, and then life was weird.
It's basically thing. Like, you know, I got hit by a car, and then I met this manic pixie dream girl. Like, okay, you know, whatever.
But of course, I wouldn't be writing this if it hadn't gotten worse. All right, there we go.
Cool.
Entity was still with me. It had not wounded me and departed like I'd wanted to believe. The closest I can describe my growing understanding was that the creature was burrowing deeper into my psyche, fracturing it into smaller pieces. Instead of months between major shifts, I began having only weeks. Only I noticed. Once I noticed that trend, I feared my ultimate fate would be to jump between times in my life, heartbeat by heartbeat, forever confused, forever lost. Only an instant in each time meant I would never be able to speak with anyone else, never be able to hold a conversation, never express or receive love.
This is what happens when you fuck with time in a story. It just stops making any sense, because if that was the case, you would just be fucking delirious.
Right.
For like 50% of your life. You would just be standing there like, what?
And it would make it, you know, if the timeline is contiguous, if you actually are going back to each point in time, you know, there would be points in your relationship with Marge and points where you were at the grocery store or in the dentist chair where you were just screaming and your eyes were rolling. You know, like, there would be points throughout your life where you just were, like, in that state of confusion and delirium, you know, so... I don't think the kid would be walking up to you and saying, silly daddy. I think the kid would be walking up to you and saying, oh, you're finally out of that seizure you were having. Do you want to play?
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Anyway.
And then there would be situations where it would be like, Marge would be like, I love how I'm calling them Marge. Mar would be like, I don't know how this relationship's going to work out. And you'd be like, nah, fuck it. We're going to be fine. Shut up.
Yeah.
And then that would affect the relationship.
Yeah, exactly. All right, this is me now, right?
Yes.
As the true depth of that fear came upon me, I sat in an older version of me and watched the snow falling outside. That was the one constant in my life. The weather didn't care who I was or what pains I had to face. Nature was always there. The falling snow...
Nature's always there when you have nature box.
God damn it. Hey! Are you jumping through points in your life?
How about having a nice constant of nature box for your full 102 years of life? Nature box delivered right to your door every week as a nice reminder that reality's been fractured.
Order Nature Box now.
We ship a bunch of snow to you so you can pour it on your head and pretend like everything is all right.
Order Nature Box now and enjoy it last week. Nature was always there. The falling snow was always like a little hook that kept me in place. The pure emotional peace it brought was like a panacea on my mental wounds, and yet I'd never yet shifted while watching the pattern of falling white. and thinking of the times I'd gone sledding or built a snow fort as a child.
Just to make sure everyone knows, because I totally know this and didn't have to, you know, bing the word panacea at all, but it is a solution or remedy for all difficulties or diseases.
Yes. It also is the incredibly large prostitute who stands down at the end of the street corner near my house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She's named Panacea.
And for $10, Panacea will touch your prostate.
Yeah.
If you can't find it, just call up Panacea.
Mm-hmm.
A teenager touched my arm. Grandpa?
Eh? He'd startled me out of my thoughts, so I was less careful than usual. Who are you?
Oh! Alzheimer's! That's what this is. This is elderly dementia. This is Alzheimer's.
Oh, yeah.
He half grinned, as if not sure whether I was joking. Handing me a stack of papers, he said, "It's my first attempt at a novel. Would you read it and tell me what you think?"
Ah, of course. Pursuing that dream of being a writer, I see. Maybe our narrator is Grandpa Simpson.
Maybe.
He burned bright red, trying to, anyway. Hee hee.
So he just caught fire. All right, run off, I'll read this right now. The words were blurry, and, annoyed, I looked for glasses I probably had for reading. Being old was terrible, and I wanted to leap back into a younger year, but not before I read his book. I wanted to steal it and publish it online myself.
It was the best of life, it was the most shattered of life.
That's true. I found my glasses in a sweater pocket and began leafing through. Mar puttered in and out of the room, still beautiful, but I had to focus. Yeah, sure. I didn't know how... You know, if you were a young dude with your young gal, and you suddenly were elderly with your elderly gal, you probably would look at her and go, ah! You know, like, what happened
to
you?
And that's the problem with the story. It's assuming that, like, not only is he time-slipping, but his brain is time-slipping, how he perceives things are, like, at different points in his life, and...
If you had a mirror in front of you and you saw the two of you together, you probably would be like, oh, well, that makes sense. But if you just jump in, you're like, "Foof! Oh, wait, my joints hurt and my vision is blurry." And then you'd see your wife and you'd be like, holy shit, was she in a fire? You know,
I'm predicting a criticism we're going to get of like, guys, can't you just enjoy the story for what it is? I was going into this willing to enjoy it. Like, yeah. I don't have any strong biases or feelings because these are just a bunch of different authors. So, you know, the first paragraph, I was like, okay, I'm into this. And then as the premise goes on, you see how faulty the premise is.
It's an entire story about the, you know, possibly what Slimebee said about dementia, or it's actually about time slipping. So that opening paragraph about, and there, a monster did it, is completely pointless. Like, isn't dementia already scary? Why does it have to have a monster? Oh, right, we're on no sleep.
I mean, the thing is,
yeah,
it could be that he's an elderly man throughout the entire story. The entity is Alzheimer's or dementia, and he's getting and losing memories from his life. And he's saying, you know, I'm, you know, remembering that I'm back, you know, with my wife. When we first met, and I, you know, ask her some questions, you know, to try to figure out what's going on. You know, it could all be in his head, but who knows? That's just a theory. But I think the thing is, like, because we will get, I'm sure, at some point on some episodes, we probably already have gotten these on previous episodes, the comments, like you said, about give the story a chance, you know, different things like that. And mm-hmm. I think the main thing is that we sort of, I guess this is maybe goes for a lot of podcasts like this, is almost like we go sort of beyond reviewing something almost to having like a conversation with the story.
Yeah.
Because like the story mm-hmm. will say something to us and then we like will respond to the story. Like it's almost like talking with a fourth person. So it's, you know, sort of like, you know, it's not really so much that we're trashing the story or disliking, you know, the whole experience or anything like that or not giving it a chance. It's kind of just like somebody saying to you, bro, wouldn't it be weird if you skipped throughout time? And we're like, yeah, that'd be cool, but, you know, it doesn't really make sense. You know?
Yeah, I feel you.
Anyway, I found my... Oh, go ahead.
No, you're good.
I found my glasses in a sweater pocket and began leafing
through. Glasses.
Glasses.
Oh, wait, no, I already read this.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't know how much time I would have there is after the puttering.
It seemed that we had relatives over. Was it Christmas? A pair of adults and a couple of kids I didn't recognize tromped through the hallway, and I saw my son, now adult, walk with his wife on his way out the door. As a group, the extended family began sledding outside.
Finally, I finished reading the story. It was terrible. And I called out for my grandson. He rushed down the stairs into the living room. How was it?
You know, they're in the future. They shouldn't be sledding. They should be cyber sledding.
They should be zero-G sledding. Cyber sledding.
They're cyber sledding. Cyber sledding is they're out in goggles and they're just rolling down the hill with nothing. Just ass over tea kettle. Well, it's terrible, I told him truthfully. But it's terrible for all the right reasons. You're still a young man.
Damn, I was kidding.
Say what?
I was kidding when I said it was terrible. Yeah. I didn't know that was coming up.
That's right. You're still a young man, so your characters behave like young people. But the structure of the story itself is very solid. I paused. I didn't expect it to turn out to be a horror story.
Hold on. That's not a criticism. Your characters behave like young people. Well, they're 15, Granddad. Yeah, that's stupid. Make them act like me.
Stop putting self-insert OCs in your creepypastas, you bastard. This is a Mary Sue. But I like this line. I didn't expect it to turn out to be a horror story. Clever foreshadowing for your story.
So this is so meta. It's getting real meta. I'm not liking it.
I sort of have one complaint in that we're not seeing much of him flashing to younger versions of himself. It seems to be a lot of him as an older person.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. He nodded. It's a reflection of the times. Expectations for the future are dismal. Not hopeful like they used to be.
You're far too young to be aware like that. Get woke, I told him. An idea occurred to me. If you're into horror, do you know anything about no sleep? I mean, strange creatures?
Sure, I read everything I can. I love it.
Well, I not so much read as I listen to people on YouTube read it for me. Okay, should we go with artisanal blend or gold apple this time?
Yes. Artisanal next.
It's a blend. Warily, I scanned the entrance to the living room. Everyone was busy outside. For the first time, I opened up to someone in my life about what I was experiencing. In a hushed tone, I told him about my fragmented consciousness.
For a teenager, he took it well. Granddad, I read that on No Sleep. You're serious?
Here's my paragraph. Yes.
No Sleep are all classical stories by then. We're looking at these like
there's penguin editions of No Sleep.
yeah. we look at that like we look at, you know, now we're going to read Frankenstein.
Oh my god, is Jeff the Killer the modern day Holden Caulfield?
Oh Jesus Christ. I do hate both of them. Yeah, that makes sense.
He donned the determined look of a grown man accepting his quest. I'll look into it. See what I can find out. You should start writing down everything you experience. Build some data. Maybe we can map out your psyche, your psychic wound.
This is a teenager saying this.
Oh, yeah, a teenager. No, fair enough.
Hey, Grandpa, maybe you should write this down so we can map out your psychic wound.
Holy shit, psychic wound. That's going to be my new band name.
All right. Later, Grandpa. He ran out the door.
Forgot entirely about mapping out my psychic wound. Wow. What? Oh, okay. So, wow. It's not dialogue.
Right.
It's just, wow. Sounds like a plan. I was surprised. That made sense, and I hadn't expected him to have a serious response. But how will I get all the notes in one place?
Post them on Reddit. Let's come up with something for you to leave. Wait. Let's come up with somewhere for you to leave them, he said, frowning with thought. Then I'll get them, and we can trace the path you're taking through your own life, see if there's a pattern. Once again, we're getting into the problem with time leaps and stories.
For the first time since the situation had gotten worse, I felt hope again. How about under the stairs? Nobody goes under there.
Sure. He turned and left the living room.
I peered after him. I heard him banging around near the stairs. He was beating the shit out of his cousin Harry.
Finally, he returned with a box, laid it on the carpet, and opened it up to reveal a bursting stack of papers. The papers were just being thrown up by all the T-1000 spiders.
Yes, exactly. The tarantulators? Is that too stupid?
No, tarantulators?
Bum, 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 yeah. Bum, bum. Bum, 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 bum.
That makes spiders. You wonder, if you're going to send a robot back through time to kill Sarah Connor, why not just a bunch of spiders? I don't know.
Well, a bunch of microscopic spiders that she can't fucking see. Yeah.
He exclaimed, holy crap, but of course... Being a teenager, he didn't really say crap. Just say shit. What?
Holy crapoli. This is the future.
Taking it back. Maybe this is written by Elias since he doesn't curse.
That could be. Under a different name. Wait, what was the name of this guy here? M59 Gar.
Oh, the author.
I'm Mormon 59.
59th Street. Greater Arlington region. There we go.
Yeah.
Sure. Elias, if you've been goofing off, that's not going into your community service hours.
That's right.
True. We can't count that, dude. I'm sorry. Right. Taken aback, I blinked rapidly, forgiving his cussing because of the shock. Did I write those?
He looked up at me with wonder. Yeah, or you will. You still have to write them and put them under the stairs after this.
Boring.
He gazed back down at the papers, then covered the box. You probably shouldn't see what they say. That could get weird. Unlike everything else!
That much I understood. Right.
He gulped. There are like 50 boxes under there, all filled up like this. Deciphering these will take a very long time. His tone dropped to deadly seriousness. Deadly seriousness. Mm. But I will save you, Grandpa. Because I don't think anyone else can.
This kid's fucked. Yep. Do we have an actual timeline of when this guy exists? Like what the decades of his life are?
Nope.
Is he living in a time of computers, like from his young adulthood through?
Here's another question: why is he never a baby shitting himself? Yeah. Has he already experienced that, or like what's the deal?
See, that's
I'm
the
guessing
thing.
He got bit after that. So the crazy entity can only like do a certain like anything after that. I don't fucking know. But then why would that matter if it can go as far into the future as it wants? Presumably,
I don't know.
This would have benefited a lot, I think, from like a line, even just one line, saying, you know, I won't bore you with all the details. I won't bore you with all the times I woke up on the toilet, or I was sleeping in a different time period, or you know, like just leaving some sentence in there to say, you know, I'm not gonna. Go into all the unrelated stuff. You know, here's just the stuff that's important.
And then I time shifted again, and I was an elderly man sitting in my own shit.
I time shifted again, and I was a caribou. I had been reincarnated. Oh, shit.
Oh, no. And then I time shifted again, and I was somehow abducted into the Muslim Brotherhood.
And then I time-shifted again, and I was buying Girl Scout cookies, and my condom flew out of my wallet.
I time-shifted again. I was cosplaying D.Va at Comic-Con. I have no fucking idea.
What's a D.Va?
All right, this is me again, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then I time-shifted again, and Momo-kun was grabbing my crotch.
God damn it. Tears flowed down my cheeks then, and I couldn't help but sob once or twice. I hadn't realized how lonely I'd become in my shifting prison of awareness until I finally had someone who understood. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I really don't like this title of A Shattered Life. It should be called Elias, the Time Shifter. And then I was young again and at work on a random Tuesday. Once the sadness and relief faded, anger and determination replaced them. After I finished my work, I grabbed some paper and began writing. While the weeks shifted around me, while those weeks became days and then hours and then minutes and then back to epochs and then centuries and then hours, I wrote every single spare moment about when and where I thought I was. I put them under the stairs out of order. My first box was actually the 13th, and my last box, 30th, and the last box was the first. Once I had grown over 50 boxes written from my perspective, and once my shifting became a matter of minutes, I knew it was up to my grandson to take it from there.
God, I'm bored.
Yeah.
God, I don't care. Like,
I'm just seeing how long this drags on, and we kind of fucked ourselves.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, let's just try to power through
it
then.
It's not crazy long, at least.
It feels like it, though, because it's like, I'm stuck in the time loop. Yeah. And then I told my grandson I was stuck in a time loop, okay? And then I started writing stuff about how I was stuck in a time loop, okay? Whoop-de-doo.
There was some shitting in there involved.
Yeah. Okay.
And some cosplaying diva.
Major note to the author. We know that you have the most upvoted story on this entire subreddit dedicated to writing creative fiction. But a note from us, who know better, put a lot of shitting in here, please.
More poop. More fecal matter.
Yes.
Scatological content.
I want this guy to be constantly shitting. Just constantly.
I want him to be puking, because from how much he's shitting.
Do you ever shit so much you puke?
I was having a terrible time. I was throwing up, and then I time shifted a few hours earlier to when I was drinking.
I didn't stop myself because I was having a really good game of beer pong.
Yeah. All
right. Okay. I think it's me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I put my head down and stopped looking. I couldn't stand the river of changing awareness any longer. Names and places and dates and jobs and colors and people were all wrong and different. I didn't like all the black people
now
in the neighborhood.
Jeez.
It was all wrong.
God damn. Oh my God, it's Richard Spencer. That's the... I'd never been... We're going to figure out what the secret story is behind this. Is it Homer Simpson? Is it Richard Spencer? I'd never been older.
A game theory right there. Is Homer Simpson inspired by Richard Spencer?
Marge! Marge! I just realized Carl is black. That actually could be an episode.
Homer!
Homer! Fuck it out.
Well, we've been over this episode where Homer was homophobic.
Yeah.
Homerophobic.
Yeah, exactly. Everything kept changing. First, Smithers was black. Then he was white.
Yes, yeah.
I'd never been
yellow.
Older.
That was weird.
I'd never been older. I sat watching the snowfall. A man of at least 30 that I vaguely recognized entered the room. Come on! I think I finally figured it out.
I was so frail that moving was painful. Are you him? Are you my grandson?
Oh!
Are you here to give me an enema?
Yes.
The grandson...
go ahead.
The grandson is MatPat. This is where it all started for him.
This is where he gets his game theories.
Yes.
From his demented grandfather.
What, Mario and what Sonic!
If Luigi and Rosalina were related?
Oh, God.
What if we put FNAF back on? I liked FNAF. Mm. Yes, he took me to a room filled with strange equipment and sat me in a rubber chair facing a large mirror.
Because he craps himself so much.
A large mirror twice the height of a man. The pattern finally revealed itself.
How long have you worked on this? I asked him, aghast. Tell me you didn't miss your life like I'm missing mine.
His expression was both stone cold and furiously resolute. It'll be worth it. He brought two thin metal rods close to my arm and then nodded at the mirror. Look, this shock is carefully calibrated. Hmm. His grandson is the shocker.
That's right. This is the origin
the
story.
The electric zap from his device was startling.
Zap.
But not painful. In the mirror, I saw a rapid arcing light silhouette appear above my head and shoulder. The electricity moved through the creature like a wave. Light is a wave as well as a particle. Hmm.
If this is a fucking spider. If this is a spider.
Oh, I swear.
Well,
is it? Briefly revealing the terrible nature of what was happening to me. A bulging, leech-like mouth was wrapped around the back of my head, coming down to my eyebrows and touching each ear, and its slug-like body ran over my shoulder and into my very soul. Watched a lot of The Twilight Zone.
I'm sad it wasn't a spider. It was a parasite. It was venom. It was a spider! Okay.
Oh my God.
And it was feeding on my mind. It's the same premise, though, of, like, invisible entity.
Yeah. Holy shit. We've read the same story. One the most upvoted and one the most downvoted.
No, it's not the most downvoted. It's the most controversial.
Right.
Sorry, you're correct.
50%.
We skipped Slime Beast there, so go ahead.
I said it was a parasite.
It was a parasite, is what he said, and then I said it was feeding on my mind.
My now adult grandson held my hand as I took in the horror. After a moment, he asked, removing it is going to hurt very badly, how would he know? Are you up for this?
Fearful, I asked, is Marge here?
His face softened. No, not for years now.
She left. She's not dead, she just left you, because you're crazy.
Right.
I could tell from his reaction what had happened, but I didn't want it to be true. How?
We have this conversation a lot, he responded. Are you sure you want to know? It never makes you feel better.
Wow, man, that character, that well-developed character, Mar, we lost them. Tears brimmed in my eyes. Yes.
She was dead. My life was forever marred.
Then I don't care if it hurts or if I die. I don't want to stay in a time where she's not alive. And then his grandson is just like, and then his son is just like, fuck it. That's, I put in all this work. Fuck you, Grandpa. You're gonna,
Dad, Grandpa, stop quoting Linkin Park.
I could have just solved this by buying a shotgun. Thanks, Grandpa.
He made a sympathetic noise of understanding and then returned to his machines to hook several wires, diodes, and other bits of technology to my limbs and forehead. While he did so, he talked.
Dude, there's like so much science going on.
So much. Electricity to the brain?
There's so much science in this fiction.
Electromagnetic diode waves.
Beta wave technology. While he did so, he talked.
Beta male cuck technology.
That's why your wife left you. For an alpha. I've worked for 2 decades to figure this out, and I've had a ton of help from other researchers of the occult. Oh, for fuck's sake. This parasite doesn't technically exist in our plane. It's one of the lesser spawns of... Oh, boy.
Ubu.
I was going to say something beta something, but Ubu works.
What happened? Okay, let me just lay out something here. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I have to because it's extremely important. Basically, what happened is this space leech from another dimension said, Ubu, what's this, Glomp?
Oh, that's Moo. That's Moo. Moo.
For anybody wondering, it's written in special characters. If you're
it's Cyrillic. It's Greek. Greek. Wait. So B is actually what? Or is that? That's German. Fuck. I don't care.
Who cares?
And it feeds on the plexus of mind, soul, and quantum consciousness / reality. When details like names and colors of objects changed, you weren't going crazy. The web of your existence was merely losing strands as the creature ate its way through you.
Ooh.
Okay.
I didn't None fully understand. Anything. Okay.
None of this means anything. Hmm. Like, if you're going to root it in the occult, like, you got to... What does that
Science
mean?
Science became my religion, and religion became my science.
Oh, that B is like the double S in German, actually. So it's Usu.
No, it's Moose Moo?
Oh, it's Moose. It's Moose.
Moose Moo?
I am the great. I am the powerful. Musu.
Dishonor on you. Dishonor on your Eskimo.
God damn it. I didn't fully understand. I looked up in confusion as he placed a circlet of electronics like a crown on my head, in exact line with where the parasite's mouth had ringed me. What's Moose?
Usu, what's that?
What's Usu? Well, it's a video game. It's a rhythm game. He paused his work and grew pale. I forget that you wouldn't know. You're lucky, believe me. After a deep breath, he began moving again and placed his fingers near a few switches. Ready? This is carefully tuned to make your nervous system extremely unappetizing to the parasite, but it's basically electroshock therapy.
Oh! This is the backstory of Pence, Vice President Pence.
No, oh, yeah.
Only he can see the gay leeches. One man.
They're everywhere.
You see, the gay mind is very different from the heterosexual mind. The gay mind perceives time in a fractured state. What, from all of the queerness?
That's why they're always ahead of the curve when it comes to fashion. They've seen the future.
It's all that marijuana they smoke. I could still see Mars smile, even though she was dead. I'd just been with her moments ago.
Do it. Do it. Shock me.
Do it.
The Pick click... up your Jedi circuit.
The click of a switch echoed in my ears, and I almost laughed at how mild the electricity was. It didn't feel like anything. At least at first. Then I saw the mirror shaking, and my body within that image convulsing. Oh, no. It did hurt. Nothing had ever been more painful. It was just so excruciating that my mind hadn't been able to immediately process it. I think we kind of forgot the fact that it has lost its poetic writing in the story.
Oh, yeah, it did.
Yeah. Oh, no, actually, it did hurt. Haha, yo, what up, my dudes?
As my vision shook and fire burned in every nerve of my body, I could see the reflected, trembling light silhouette of the parasite on my head as it writhed in agony, equal to mine. It had claws, six clawed lizard-like limbs under its leech-like body.
Spider!
And it cut into me, into pieces. This was my last resort for getting... It cut me into pieces in an attempt to stay latched on.
So, the electricity made my memories flare. That's what I wanted to say.
Okay. I this kid better get out of the room once it detaches. That's all I know. Marge's smile was foremost, lit brightly in front of a warm fire as the snow fell past the window behind her. The edges of... Where is he viewing her from? If there's a fire in front of her and a window behind her...
In his mind's plexus, obviously. Okay.
I was just thinking, is he in the fire, looking out at her, seeing the snow fall behind her? I don't know. The edges of that memory began lighting up, and I realized that my life was one continuous stretch of experience. It was only the awareness of it that had been fragmented by that feasting evil on my back.
Wait, if it's a continuous stretch, is it a circle or is it a line?
Yes.
Okay.
It's more like a rug or a carpet.
It's a Persian rug.
Yes.
I never managed to be there for the birth of my son. I jumped around a dozen times, but never actually lived it. For the first time, I got to hold Mars' hand and be there for her.
No. No! That moment had shifted seamlessly into holding her hand as she lay in a hospital bed for a very different reason. Not this. God, why? It was so merciless to make me remember this. I broke down in tears as nurses rushed into the room. I didn't want to know. I didn't want to experience it. I'd seen all the good parts, but I hadn't wanted the worst part, the inevitable end that we would all one day face.
I'm sorry, sir. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing we can do. Your wife has poop cancer.
God damn it.
Can't she just poop it out? Sorry, it doesn't work that way. All the poop cancer's clogged her up.
Now I'm picturing the doctor as like a toddler, like a 3-year-old. It's like, your wife has doo-doo cancer. Sorry, bye.
I just can't. It's like this character that we know nothing about is dying, you know?
We've been told, like, even the main character, we've been told the entire life story of this character, and I still could not care less.
we don't have any details about who these people are at all.
Yeah.
All we know is that the grandson wants to be a writer, which, mm-hmm. you know, other than that, we have no character attributes for any of these people. Like, we don't know what they like, we don't know what they like to do, we don't know anything.
They like about falling them. In love. Mm. They like the snow.
Yeah.
That's about it.
They hate Eskimos. It wasn't worth it. It was tainted. All that joy was given back 10,000... Wait. All that joy was given back 10,000-fold as pain. Okay.
The fire of my body and in my brain surged to the sheer white torture, and I screamed.
My scream faded into a surprised shout as the machines and electricity and chair faded away. Snow was no longer falling around my life. I was out in the woods on a bright summer day.
Oh, God.
I turned to see the creature approaching me. It was the same absence of meaning, the same blank on reality. It crept forward, just like before, but this time it hissed and turned away. I stood, astounded at being young again and freed from the parasite. My grandson had actually done it. He had made me an unappetizing meal. So the predator of my mind and soul had moved on in search of a different snack.
So what if he implanted a certain thing in this guy's mind that made him unappetizing? Like, you know, he made him like a really big Kingdom Hearts fan or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the creature is just like, what?
Oh, weebs. Gross. I returned home in a daze.
Not a week's or a month's, but a daze. And while I was sitting there processing all that had happened, the phone rang.
Oh, dude, how about that for a title of this story? As Days Go By.
God damn it. And while I was sitting there processing all that had happened, the phone rang, but who was phone? I looked at it in awe and sadness. I knew who it was. It was Marjorie Simpson. Actually, Bouvier. Calling for the first time for some trivial reason she'd admit 30 years later was made up just to talk to me.
You must have had, like, a shitty relationship if you held out a lie for 30 fucking years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, all I could see was her lying in that hospital bed dying. It was going to end in unspeakable pain and loneliness. I would become an old man, left to sit by myself in an empty house. His soulmate gone long before him. At the end of it all, the only thing I would have left, sitting and watching the falling snow.
How does he know that he has a long time left after that? Maybe he would die right away after what he experienced.
Well, no, I think what they're saying is that she died really young, and then he knows that he made it to be an old man, so.
But now, thanks to my grandson, I would also have my memories. It would be a wild ride, no matter how it ended.
On a sudden impulse, I picked up the phone. With a smile, I asked, "Hey, who is this?"
With a smile, I asked, "New phone, who dis?"
New timeline, who dis?
Ugh.
Even though I already knew.
Author's note. Together, my grandfather and I did set out to write the tale of his life. Unfortunately, his Alzheimer's disease progressed rapidly, and we were never able to finish. He's still alive, but I imagine that mentally he's in a better place than the nursing home. I like to think he's back in his younger days, living life and being happy, because the reality is much colder. It's snowing today. He loves the snow. When I visited him, he didn't recognize me, but he did smile as he sat looking out the window.
Hmm.
Did this person get sympathy upvotes for the author note?
Possibly.
Honest question, like, yeah, that's the author's note is like a great anecdote. Like, cool, you wrote this story with your grandfather and finished it with him, and it is symbolic of Alzheimer's and everything. But,
you know, I read a creepypasta years ago called "My Grandfather Suffered from Dementia," and it was a lot better than this. It was very emotionally impactful. It had nothing to do with time travel. It was a fraction of the length. And it also featured possession. So this isn't a bad concept at all. I've read this story before. This version, just to me, doesn't really hit home at all.
Hmm. Well, our author is Matt Demersky. If you've heard of him
Oh,
before.
The dude... The dude who wrote fucking, what, Paranoia? Or
I don't know.
Psychosis. Psychosis.
I know him from being named as somebody who was in the Chilling Tales Kickstarter. I just sort of clicked on the blog link, so I'm just trying to see if I can remember what I know his name from. But yeah, so that is actually somebody I've heard of before.
Yeah, no, he wrote Psychosis.
Hmm, interesting.
And Psychosis is good.
Yeah, Psychosis is great, yeah.
So what the fuck happened?
I mean, again, author's note. He, you know, wrote this with his grandfather. Maybe this is, for him, a more sentimental thing. Possibly. Not necessarily a better book or better story or whatever. I don't take issue with that. He was writing to make himself happy. It's just he didn't make me happy in the process, which is fine.
I'm just trying to see if there's anything else we need to figure out about this before we move forward. Because I know, you know, just finding out who that is sort of like puts a wrench into the whole thing where I'm like, oh, okay. But yeah.
Well, so, as we always say, like, we don't review these to critique the author.
Right.
And their personality or anything like that. It's purely on the story. So even if I didn't know this was Matt Demirsky, I would still have the same reaction of, time travel gets boring real quick, and you really drew out that time travel bit. So the horror really didn't hit home. But as Brandon said, he wrote this with his grandfather. So yeah, it changes things.
Well, again, and I think we have to go back to this criticism. There's a little urination at the beginning, not enough poop.
Clearly.
It's just, you know, disappointing.
Well, generally. I mean, if you're going to have the lemonade, you got to have the fudge. Around the corner is where the milk is made. And
what?
That brings...
There was no milk in this story.
So you've never heard that. You've never heard that rhyme before, Dead Palette?
Yeah, but you're fucking it up, though.
Yeah, well, we have to start with the P and Po, so we can't, you know,
can't
do it the normal way.
Yeah, milk, lemonade, around the corner, fudge is made.
Right.
Stick your finger up the hole, then you get a Tootsie Roll.
Damn it.
Milk, lemonade, Girl Scout cookies are really great.
Yeah, it's actually a saying I learned in Boy Scouts. I was never in Boy Scouts, but my brother was, and he told me.
That's what Boy Scouts should be selling door-to-door, fudge.
This has been the Fear Fiction Podcast. Your hosts are Abysme, Dead Palette, and Slime Beast. Music by Abysme. Art by C.F. Comer. Voiceover by Atticus Jackson. Edited by Elias the Intern. Subscribe to FearFic on YouTube to stay up to date on new episodes.
Hey everybody, welcome to Is That Really a Fucking Anime? I'm your host, Chet Anime Sue, Chetsu Anime, and today we're gonna play a game with Slime Beast and Abysme. Here's how this game will work. You two are competing against each other in every meaningful way, and we have three anime shows, and you're going to have to tell me whether this is a real show or some bullshit made up by some guy.
I'm going to say it's real. Abysme?
All of them are real.
Okay. Yeah, all of them are real.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are wrong. That's the
I
end of the show.
I see through your shit, Chet.
Guys, I'm real close to that noose, guys. Just play the show for me. I got fired from the Golf Channel, and now I'm working on Anime Network, which I don't even think is a thing anymore. So, guys, just do this for me.
This is Jeff from Crunchyroll. Trying not to kill myself.
All right. First show, Rainmaker Akatsuki. Shinzo Akatsuki is a junior high student in an impoverished farming village, suffering from a lack of active trains. He looks to help out around the village by running small errands on his bike, until his TAS send him to an abandoned shrine where he discovers an ancient Shinto blessing. But in doing so, he attracts ancient evils to the village. He has to balance using his new water powers between fighting off demons and helping grow edamame beans
at his grandfather's farm. Is this a real show?
Who answers first?
Yes.
That sounds plausible, but it also sounds a little too hackneyed. I'm going to say not real.
Yeah, it's definitely not real. That is some grade A bullshit that Dead Pallet would make up.
That's like...
Lack of trains.
That would exist in the 90s.
Lack of trains.
I don't think it would exist today.
Chet, we know that Dead Pallet is rating these questions for you, and we know that Dead Pallet has a notorious hatred for trains. So.
Well, now, hold on. Is it Dead Pallet? I thought Elias was writing all these.
Dead Pallet, I think, writes...
Elias is ghostwriting for Dead Pallet, who's ghostwriting for Chet.
Elias is the Jack Kirby to Dead Pallet Stanley. So.
Oh, okay. Anyway, we both say it's not real.
The answer is it is totally fake. It's 100% fake. But that is a problem that Japan is having, where rural areas are having problems with active trains. It's a real issue, guys.
Sure,
so make sure you re-up that Crunchyroll subscription to keep those trains running. Okay, number two.
You were going to say that's the problem rural Japan's having with fake animes. Just keep popping up everywhere.
Keep popping up. Beyond the Boundary. Akihito Kambara is a high school sophomore in the literature club who believes himself to be a meganist. And although he appears to be human, he is actually half Yomu, which makes him invulnerable to wounds due to the fact he can heal so quickly and also immortal. One day, Akihito meets freshman Mirai Kuriyama when it appears as if she is about to attempt suicide by jumping off the school rooftop. Mm. Mirai is isolated because of her ability to manipulate blood, which is considered heresy even among other members of the underworld, so she is shunned. Soon after, Akihito saves Mirai, disturbing events begin to arise. Is this a real show?
So you're saying
I'm gonna say yes.
You're saying she's a bloodbender?
So, yeah, that's straight up bloodbending.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm gonna say it's real too because you couldn't pronounce the name. I would think you'd be able to pronounce a name that you wrote. So.
It is possible you invented names.
Chat, are you are you choking on something?
I'm choking on wheatgrass. I got a lot of wheatgrass. It was a fiber supplement that they were giving me at the Golf Channel. I have pounds of it. So you both say that this is real?
Yep.
Yeah.
I can't believe that this is a real thing, but it fucking is.
Yeah, no. I'm not surprised. I'm not happy about it, but I'm not surprised.
Well, moving on to the last one, Itsudate My Santa. An unlucky boy named Santa was born on Christmas Eve whose parents don't even care about him meet a Santa in training girl named Mai. She is determined to wish him the best Christmas he will ever have, and it gets even better when they fall in love with each other. Mai, a Santa in training, appears in front of an unlucky boy named Santa on Christmas Eve, promising him she will make him happy for one night. Is this a real anime?
So you all you did was write fan fiction for May, is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Did I? Did Dead Pallet?
Did Japan?
The intern?
Japan the intern?
So this...
Abysme, I would say Abysme. Go with fake.
Here's the thing. It sounds real enough simply because Japan occasionally has this weird like fascination with Western culture.
Go for, with
like
fake.
Whenever you see a wedding in anime, it's like very kind of Western Christian wedding, even though like there's not a lot of Christians in Japan, so that can tell.
Abysme, I'm telling you.
In Japan, regardless, they have Christian weddings, even though they're not Christians.
Yeah,
they actually
have
a saying about this, where it's you're born a Shintoist, married a Christian, and buried a Buddhist.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with real.
Well,
despite Slimer's wishes,
I was hoping that he would go fake so I could go real, because we're tied up, and this is the only chance to have a tiebreaker. So, in the interest of having a tiebreaker, I'm going to go opposite, and I'm going to say fake.
Okay.
The answer is, this is totally a real thing.
Ah!
Fucking shit.
Ah!
You know what? Burning down the studio, you have 12 seconds to get out. The Anime Channel is history.
Don't burn down the Crunchyroll Studios.
The Anime Channel is the history channel. I'm gonna burn it the fuck down.
It's all owned by Disney. They got insurance. Who cares?
You're all gonna be very crunchy when I'm done.
Oh god, I gotta call up my guy at the History Network. See if I can make any connections with him.
Which
I'm gonna
one?
Lose my job again.
Which one is a real historical event? Did Hitler? Uh-oh.
Was Hitler a Muslim?
New evidence suggests.
Oh, man.
Someone please Photoshop Hitler with a turban.
Just, like, next to it?
Yeah, it's... There's a turban off in the corner of this picture. Was he a Muslim?
No, I just want a picture of, like, Hitler, and he has his arm around a giant turban, and he's just pointing at it, smiling.
Yeah.
Hey, do you like actual fucking in-depth analysis of video games that aren't SEO optimized? Why don't you go check out Soberdorf and watch some of his videos where he talks about the fucking Metal Gear Solid ladder for 12 goddamn minutes?
And I was enraptured.
How long is it going to be until you load up Sober Dwarf's channel and the video starts playing and it goes, "Hey guys, Sober Dwarf here. Why is this ladder so important? It isn't. Fuck you. Buy a nature box."
Considering he's already made the jokes along those lines, depends on when he gets money.
Hmm.
No, the guy is like bizarrely like, "No. Fuck you, I'm not going to upload something that'll actually get me attention."
How long is it going to be until you bring his channel up and the video starts playing and he starts saying, "Chemicals in the water turning us all Jewish? Maybe."
Wow. Hot days.
Sober Dwarf, please.